Dark brown eyes, just like her mom. Ikiwana was her name. From the land of the midnight sun she came. Born in an igloo made of snow, just like the rest of the Eskimo. Her pa was a Mountie they called Big Joe. Her ma was a dark-skinned Eskimo. And I was proud as I could be when Ikiwana married me. Ikiwana, Ikiwana was her name. From the land of the midnight sun she came. Born in an igloo made of snow, just like the rest of the Eskimo. We went on a honeymoon that day, and eight little huskies pulled our sleigh. We dined on chunks of walrus meat. We danced with mucklucks on our feet. Ikiwana, Ikiwana was her name. From the land of the midnight sun she came. Born in an igloo made of snow, just like the rest of the Eskimo. At night I sleep on a white bear fur, under a sealskin close to her. Now nine little Eskimos, cute as a bug, sleep on their own little bearskin rug. Ikiwana, Ikiwana was her name. From the land of the midnight sun she came. Born in an igloo made of snow, just like the rest of the Eskimo.
Bob Dossily to Ada Carpenter, Ellen Airy, Georgina Oliver, Lawrence Airy, from Mary Airy. Bob Dossily to Eileen Joe, Ruth Elanick, Margaret Elanick, Eileen Phillips, Frank Edwards Jr. and Frank Edwards Sr. from Ellen Airy. Bob Dossily to Dixie and Charlie Kasuk from Barbara Kasuk, and to Susie Cook, Celine China, and also to Martha China from Peanuts at Inuvik, and to Ellen and Margot Airy from Martha. What's in Buck Owens with Where Does the Good Times Go?
Charles Cooey. I am glad to have this chance to talk to my people. As you know that I have never went to school, but what I know and have learned is through working here and there. There is one important fact I'd like to talk about today. Most of you people remember 6 years ago an investigation made about the unsettled land of 1921, and since then nothing was done about it, because it was entirely up to us to do something about it. I think it's time we try and settle the matter. 1921 was a long time ago, and I don't think none of the people knew what went on or what deal was given them. Because of our ignorance and negligence concerning the land, we are still living the way we have been for years. When are we going to live differently? What are we waiting for? Why live like this while we still have this land owing us? We could settle the matter now. while there is still some of us around from the first treaty of 1921. In treaty book of today, this land matter is written down as unsettled land, and it's used now without anyone thinking that a part of it is still ours. We are born in this country, brought up, and we lived here. But as I said before, due to ignorance and lack of education, we left it alone without us doing anything about it. No one ever told us anything about it, so now it's high time we should get to work on it. All we have to do is have as many meetings as possible till it's all clear to the people. Not only down this part of the north, people are interested in settling it. It's all through the Northwest Territories. Outside people, when they had signed the treaty, they called it reserve. Down here, they call it unsettled land and let it go at that, and it's still unsettled. Why? It's because it was up to us to settle the matter one way or the other. That means either we marked down an Indian reserve or settled it some other way. If we don't help ourselves or try our best, no one will be interested in us or help us. Why wait? 1921 is a long time ago. Let's look forward to a brighter and better future for our children. And if we think that way, it's a good time now to do something for them. We have Indian Advisory Council down here now, and if we work closely with them, I am sure they will in every way have more to do in helping us. It's too much for the two men to do, because they're supposed to cover the area up to Fort Norman and Fort Franklin. There is no money appropriated for these purposes, and I know when John Pascal makes trips amongst us here, he does it mostly from his own money, and I think we could all get together and talk about expense money for his traveling purposes. Nowadays, people have to have money to travel, and if he can't come to see us often, how do we expect him to do something for us in his work? Now, we people at Fort McPherson finally got down to the fact that if we cooperated and worked together, only then we have power and could accomplish anything we put our mind on. Let's not forget this, as time is changing, so we have to change in order to keep up. Thank you. Abraham Alexei. First, I'll say a few words about myself. I was not too well for the last 7 years, and since I had operation last fall, I am now feeling real well and healthy. So my thanks and appreciation goes to the doctors and nurses at Inuvik Hospital. I'll say a few words to the people over the air, and what I have in mind is the Treaty of 1921. I was there at the time, but due to the fact that I don't understand English, I didn't know too much of what went on. But one thing I know, we have land, which apparently was forgotten on both sides. And now that we decide to do something about it, let's not make the mistake of making a rash decision and be sorry about it later on. Being one of the old timers, I just want you to know that I quite agree with the sooner we settle this land matter, the better it will be for the people here and along the river. We kept this land long enough, and I think what we are to decide is going to be mostly for our future generation. By that time, they will be educated enough to carry on and make a decent living out of it. Some of us still have in mind to leave it the way it is. Why? We'll never get anything out of it. We waited too long, so let's do something about it. But let's not make a rash decision about it. think about it, and what we'll decide will be for the future generation. This is all I have to say, and good luck to all. Very important to us and our future generation, because of poor communication between other settlements, we couldn't very well work on it as we should have done long ago. Now that there is an Indian Advisory Council, and also with the help of this program, we will come to understand it more clearly and also communicate with others to understand us and our culture. We'll be back next week at the same time with a program, how difficult it is without education. Till then, good luck.
Today I want to address myself primarily to those young people who were just confirmed the other night. Sermons often, and I think the day is coming when sermons will perhaps be less a part in the church's form of worship, and that perhaps there'll be more dialogue, but when we have sermons, we're told that they should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. We shouldn't just stop them. And yet, in a sense, though, all sermons, in a way, one person must just quit talking. And that's when a sermon perhaps begins. This sermon today really hasn't got an ending, because it can only begin in our own lives, and there is so much more that can be said. The other night, Tuesday, Easter Tuesday, there was a confirmation here. There are very few people here. Just a scattering of parents and mostly young people, their own age, 12, 13, their cameras to take pictures of their friends and to be with them at this pretty inciting and important event in their lives. And I'm not particularly concerned with numbers in church, because though there are few at confirmation, numbers don't prove a thing, because you can get great crowds at weddings, and a wedding, they're not there particularly for Christian reasons at a Christian marriage. So it only depends upon motive and the Spirit of God working in that fellowship. But there are few there to watch these people, to be with them, as they made this decision. Confirmation, above all, is a decision-making time in our life. We make it a decision of the best knowledge that we have at that time. I have warned the children that they should not be confirmed because their parents are pressing them. Some parents perhaps get upset if I send their children home from confirmation and say I will not confirm them because of a lack of interest in the classes or by the youngster. Because this is their decision and no one else's, not their parents and not the pressure society. And they make it, like many people make their marriages, upon the best information available at the time when they say those vows. They took these vows, which we have in the Anglican Church, made by their godparents upon themselves. Other churches, we find many good Christians, for very good reasons, do not have godparents or children's baptism, and wait till the youngster grows up to make his own statements and vows and commitments at the age when we have confirmation. There isn't very much difference, and I'm not really going to talk about baptism at this time, but rather confirmation. It's an initiation, and it's not a graduation. It's sort of a beginning of life. It's sort of a summing up of the events that have taken place in our previous 12, 13 years that we've lived, and saying that there is something of value in the world, and I don't know what it is, but there is something. it's appropriate that we were had this confirmation during the season of Easter. I can't think of perhaps any more appropriate time to be confirmed. Because at that time we're thinking of new life. We're thinking of a resurrected life. We're thinking about these values which somehow we sense in our minds they are eternal and important values. The value of love and freedom. Man is a riddle, and we're not quite sure just how he works. We don't understand ourselves. We know that man can rise to the highest level of creation, or he can sink to the lowest level of creation and become a depraved man, a depraved beast, lower than the beast, becomes a brute. Here he has these two worlds in which he lives, both in conflict with each other. A man wants to be free. This is what we call sin. Sin isn't doing certain things. Sin is why we do these certain things. Sin is I think the best word for it is separation, being separated from God, separated from our purpose. There's something wrong with us and we know it. And yet we know that there's something in us that is very good. And we long for these things. We long to find just who we are, become an integrated person, that is, where there is no more war going on inside us. Sin means separation from God. It means being a slave. Just as people who are concerned about numbers are slaves to numbers or social success. Some people are slaves to their family. Some people are slaves to the state or the world. Some people are slaves to power. They want power. This is their goal in life, to be somebody. They look for power without realizing that Caesar, sort of the epitome of power, in a way was the weakest man who ever lived, dependent only on the masses for his power, and enslaved by the masses, just the same as when Russia went into Hungary, for example, 1956. And they went in with their great tanks and their great armies. That these few people that threw these Molotov cocktails, these little bottles filled with gasoline, were really the masters of the situation and not the great tanks. Because Russia is committed and tied up, had tied up at that time, great armies, and had lost their freedom, though they came as conquerors. The most devastating, though, type of enslavement that we can have is slavery to the self. There were very few adults at this confirmation, which is perhaps in some ways a natural thing. Because young people, there is a separation and there is a longing for finding just what life is all about. Of being independent and looking for this freedom. And we experiment at that age, between 12 and 18 perhaps. Some people never mature and experiment all their lives and never grow past adolescence. But it's important to experiment in the distractions of the world, looking for our freedom and ourselves, and looking for something that abides forever, that lasts forever. And yet I would say to you, beware of being caught up in another slavery by escaping the slavery to the parents or authority of school or what it might be, you get enslaved to the self with no help, no authority, and no freedom. I would like to go on and talk about freedom at some greater length. There's no time to do so now, except I think you know what it means to have a glimpse of freedom. It just means being in love. And if you've been in love, you have an idea of what freedom means, because you're on top of the world at that time. And it only comes for just an instant, where we find ourselves. And we find that these are the important things, and these are the things that last forever. And we know they last forever because of the story of Easter. There was the freest of all men ever born, who gave us new hope, a new life, to show that it is all worthwhile, that the thing that does last is love, and that love wins a victory over everything that separates us from God, everything that separates us from the depth of our life, everything that separates us from the meaning and purpose of our life and who we are, because we're awfully important people. This victory was won. And death, which can negate everything in life and sort of make it all meaningless, was conquered and beaten and defeated. We're slow to realize this new life, and you perhaps will experiment and be caught up in the distractions of the world, and this is fine, as long as you are honest and aware of what your goals are, what it is you really value and treasure in life, what it is you really love, what it is you would give your life for. These things you must think about wherever you go in your life. I am the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from all that makes life shallow and monotonous and miserable. He that loses his life shall save it, shall find it. In other words, it's possible for life to be saved. It is possible to find life. This is the news of Easter. When it's lost in love. But it's the hardest thing in the world to love. And yet in some ways it's the simplest. But it means suffering. It means a cross. It means denying yourself, separating yourself from all that may be precious to you now, including the self. And when you lose yourself for other people, you find it. This is why we go to church. This is why, in only one sense, it's disappointing that there are so few the confirmation, or in church generally, because you cannot be a Christian in a vacuum. People are afraid to make friends because of a responsibility it will involve. But Christianity asks people to go out and make friends, to be responsible, to take a bear a cross, and to be involved with the other person. So I would say to you, that you should be honest with yourself and follow your conscience wherever it goes, and keeping your eyes set on those things which last forever, faith, hope, charity, these things. The greatest of them is love, charity. Be honest in looking for those things, and you'll find yourself in many mazes in life. Many distractions, and it will seem you are lost, but you can always look to that one light. And here is one thing that lasts, because this is what the story of Easter tells us, that a victory has been won. The greatest victory ever won. The victory over death, and over everything that's absurd. And it was won by love. If you want to find a victory in your life, that is as well the only way it can be won, is by complete self-denial and love for the other man. Let's sing our offertory hymn, 164.
I'm now going to give you a sample of the messages that come over the radio every evening at 6 o'clock, also at 12 o'clock, and in the evening at 11 o'clock.
Marjorie Storr at Fort McPherson, wishing you a very happy birthday and many more to come from Sis Florence. To John Blake, having a hard time to leave because there's no one to take me down, if you can, come and get me from Mum Elizabeth Blake. To Jackie Lanick at Reindeer Station, I want the two dogs and the toboggan right away. This message from Isaac Simon. To Garrett Rubin at Pawlentuck, just to let you know everything is okay. Hope all is the same with you. We'll be through with our course next week, Wednesday. We'll be seeing you soon. Keep smiling. Love from Olga Rubin. To Frank and Martha Cudluck at Sax Harbor, I had my operation on April 4th. I had a sore tummy for a while, but I'm okay now. The nurses are real good to me. Love from daughter, Lucy. To my grandchild, Billy Thrasher, happy birthday. Love from Granny. Birthday wishes to Billy Thrasher, also from Auntie Agnes and Mom Mona. To Luke St. John, Albert will be staying in town for a long time. Too much snow for the snow cruiser. If you have to come to town for supplies, do so. Signed, Art. To Noel Oliver at Aklavik, from Dad, Erastus, could you come as soon as you can? To Edward Airy at Aklavik, I'm having my operation tomorrow. Love from Martha. To Roy Allen, I have to see the dentist every day until the 15th. Hope to see you soon. Regards to Lena, Jenny, and Mary. This with love from Liz. To Mr. Jackson at the hostel in Fort McPherson and the nurses at the nursing station, Lucy Ratt is coming home tomorrow. Could you please see that her house is ready from the Inuvik General Hospital? To Martina Abraham, hi Tina, just to let you know I'm coming home tomorrow. Please come and meet me. Love from Mommy. To Tommy and Jimmy Wright in McPherson, Baby and I will be home tomorrow. Love from Lillian. To Mr. Fred Carpenter, I'm in Inuvik now, may come this weekend. Regards from John Willie. Birthday greetings to Tommy Ross, Fred John, and Mrs. Mary Husky. Wishing you all many more, especially to Fred John. Hope you have 100 more. Signed, Sarah Ross. To Albert Jones and Fred John, many happy returns on your birthday. Be good, boys. Best regards from Agnes Jones. Another one to Fred John. Here's hoping you have a happy birthday. May you have 100 more happy years from all your girlfriends in Aklavik. To my sweet little girl, Ruth Wright at Fort McPherson, wishing you a very happy birthday for today. Hope you have many more to come. You'll be getting your parcel on tomorrow's plane. All my love from Mum, Jeannie. To Mum and Dad at Pawlentuck, Ida had her tonsils out yesterday morning. Everything is fine, so there's nothing to worry about. From Helen. T. to Jonah at Cape Perry, just to let you know I'm still waiting. Everything is fine. Nothing to worry about. This also from Helen. To my godmother, Mary Husky, in Aklavik, happy birthday, and many more. Signed, Marilyn Cooey. And our final message is to John E. Gully at Colville Lake. Please have some fish ready for tomorrow, because I may be going out. This from Alexis Turbo. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock, we'll be hearing from Mac Feely with Delta Sports in just a moment. Before we wrap up Delta Roundup, we have a late announcement to the curlers of Inuvik. The Iqaluit Curling Club needs one more rink to replace an Inuvik rink that is now unable to attend the Iqaluit Open Bonspiel. The rink would be due to curl at 8:15, Friday the 7th of April. Anybody interested in entering a rink, please call Iqaluit at 2111 before 10 o'clock tonight. This has been your early evening edition of Delta Roundup. Delta Roundup returns tonight at 11:03. This is CBC Radio, the Mackenzie Network, CHAK, Inuvik. Our temperature, 3 below, with winds east at 5. It's now 7 o'clock.
Today is April 6.